Would you join me, please, in a word of prayer? Lord, let the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all those who have assembled prove acceptable in your sight, my strength, my rock, my redeemer. Amen. Well, as I said, we're starting a new series, and the series is called Peace of Mind, and what it's dealing with is mental health. And this is, to say that it is not really discussed, to say that it is not really addressed in the church is an understatement. But it's extremely important, because God wants us to be whole, body, mind, soul, all of us. And to ignore one part or another is to ignore part of who we are. Not all of the Christian community has ignored it, however. This is Father Richard Rohrs, a Franciscan monk, I guess. A monk. Why else would he be wearing that ridiculous robe, monk's robe? I mean, it's not Halloween. So yes, but he's also an author. He's a speaker. He's written a whole bunch of books, and this is one of the things that he said that really impacts, I think, mental health. He says, many of the things that serve us well in our 20s and 30s begin to strangle us in our 40s and 50s. And that means just by doing the same things that give us success in our 20s and 30s, in our careers, in our relationships, if we keep on doing those things, and why wouldn't we? Eventually, they begin to just choke us. They begin to suffocate us. And that's if we're just doing the same things. So what can we do about it? Well, first, let me talk about a few people that you may recognize. The older among you will recognize this guy, John Lennon. In 1965, the Beatles, he and Paul took turns writing, wrote this song called Help. You guys recognize it, right? Help me if you can, I'm feeling down, and I do appreciate your being round. Help me get my feet back on the ground, won't you please, please help me. He said in an interview afterwards, I wasn't just making this up, I meant it. I'm standing up there singing, won't you please, please help me. Later that same year, he wrote a song called Girl, where he talks about this girl who's just treating him badly all the time. You humiliate me in front of my friends. It's not as popular as Help was. And in the song, it says, you know, how long is this going to go on? Will you be happy when I'm dead? Cries for help. And then later, in 1966, just the very following year, he makes this very famous statement that the Beatles are more popular than Jesus Christ. And a lot of people that probably could have helped him instead said, let's burn all of our Beatles albums and paraphernalia because we hate them. And you just wonder, what if somebody actually had stepped in to help him? That's an old-time reference. Some of you will not know anything about John Lennon at all. You'll wonder if he's maybe that guy in Russian history. No, that's Vladimir Lenin. Totally different guy. But you will have heard of Linkin Park. Linkin Park, now, see, I just lost half of you. I gained half of you, right? It's okay. Linkin Park, pretty contemporary group. I'd say they kind of fuse a few different things, heavy metal and hip-hop and some other more contemporary types of music. They did the soundtrack for Transformers, so maybe you guys know that. Anyway, in 2017, yeah, okay, so no, all right, we'll just keep going. 2017, they came out with a new album, and one of the songs on it was called Heavy. And these are some of the lyrics on there. It gets profane later on, but these are some of the lyrics on there. I don't like my mind right now. Stacking up problems that are so unnecessary. Wish that I could slow things down. I want to let go, but there's comfort in the panic. And I drive myself crazy thinking everything's about me. Yeah, I drive myself crazy because I can't escape the gravity. I'm holding on. Why is everything so heavy? Holding on. So much more than I can carry. I keep dragging around what's bringing me down. If I could just let go, I'd be set free. Holding on. Why is everything so heavy? Like I said, this album comes out in 2017 and the critics hated it. Sounded a little different than what they sounded like before, but when they're writing their criticism of this, they say it sounds like teenage angst, right? It's just so immature. It's you hated it. And then 6 months later, the lead singer, Chester Bennington, commits suicide. And you wonder, when are we going to pay attention to this? When are we going to hear a cry for help for just what it is, a cry for help? If you're not into music, maybe you recognize this guy, Antonio Brown, right? When I left for my little film festival, I think the police were going to bring him in for questioning for this sexual abuse or assault charge, and he had barricaded himself in his house and wasn't letting himself out. It seems like the more successful he's gotten, the wackier he's gotten. And you wonder, is this a cry for help? Now, none of us, I'm not saying we need to go out and help Antonio Brown, because probably none of us have a connection to this guy, but somebody does. Somebody does. And you probably have a connection to somebody else who needs help. Just the odds are. The increase in teenage suicide, the increase in medication and mental disorders of all kinds means that somebody in this room probably needs help in some kind of way. And the only way that we are going to be able to help one another is if we begin to take mental health a little more seriously. And so that's what this whole series is going to be about. And I want to say really up front that we don't have silver bullets here. What I'd like to offer through this series is tools. They're not a one thing fixes all magically kind of thing, but they are helpful. Each and every one of these things can help, but they're not a substitute in some cases for real clinical help. And just like anything else, I think the more tools you've got, the better. The more things that are working for us, the more healthy we will be. So what I wanted to start with was what Paul tells us. Paul says that we start with our minds. We read it earlier, but I'm going to read you the ESV version of this, English Standard Version. So he writes this in Romans. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And now I'm going to go back to the NIV, which I think gets at exactly what I want to talk about today. This translation says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. The same exact thing right there. Then you will be able to test and approve what is God's will, His good and pleasing and perfect will. So we all know what patterns are, right? And we learn these in school. We're actually really good as a species at picking out patterns. It's what's made us very successful in all kinds of different endeavors. And if you haven't learned this, and we all have, you'll recognize it. We've all learned this kind of stuff in school. I want to prove it to you. We got patterns right here. Let's see. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. What comes next? All right, whoever shot at 20, you need to just stop. We all know this. We all know this. All right, a little harder here. Yes, it is 12. 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8. I already heard it. Which is the Fibonacci sequence. Okay, yes, because we all worked at the NSA. Okay, one last one. This is the last one. 2, 3, 5, 7, 11, 13. It is. It's 13. These are prime numbers. So, and we could go on and on and on. I actually showed a little bit of restraint and not being too much of a nerd. There are a lot of different things that I could show you here. But here's the thing. We all recognize patterns and we can predict where they're going. But those are just numbers. There are patterns in our lives, and whether we realize it or not, we are conforming to them. And sometimes that's a good thing, but lots and lots and lots of times, it is not a good thing. There's patterns of poverty. You wonder why poor kids can't stop being poor kids. It's because they see a pattern before them. It's laid out where they're supposed to go, what they're supposed to do, and they don't question it. They just conform to the pattern that's in front of them. You wonder why some couples stay together, but they fight all the time. It's because things can be going along just fine, and then she says this, and he's going to say this, and then boom, 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 boom. You're right back in a pattern. And Paul says, stop it. That's not what I want you to do. I don't want you to be conformed to the patterns that you see around you. You need to be transformed, and it all begins with our mind. And you can see this, I think, also in other people. There's the same types of tragedy, the same types of tragedy occur to the same people, and yet the result is completely different. I don't have a picture of her, but I don't need to, because we've all heard of Oprah Winfrey, right? And I think most of us know a little bit, at least, about her beginning. She was a victim of habitual sexual abuse. She ran away from home. You may not have known that. She actually had a child as a very young, unwed mother, and that child shortly thereafter died. And these things aren't completely unique, right? They happen all too often. And yet, in her circumstance, she went on to become Oprah, right? What's different? Why is she so different? I would suggest it's because she didn't allow herself to be conformed by the patterns that were before her. Instead, she was transformed. Her mind was renewed. Now, you've heard of Oprah, but I think you probably haven't heard of Viktor Frankl. Let me tell you just a little bit about him. He spent some time in Nazi concentration camps. He was Jewish during World War II, which, if you're ever going to be Jewish, this is like the worst time, right? He was in Auschwitz, and yet he survived the concentration camps. And when you come through something like that, you're going to be changed. Well, he said this. He said a bunch of really interesting things, but this is one of the things he said. Everything can be taken from a man but one thing. And think just for a second how he knows that in a way that you and I can't begin to imagine. Everything can be taken from someone. Everything. Even your name, when you have a number tattooed on your arm. Everything can be taken from you except one thing: to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way. Those are powerful words from somebody who came from Auschwitz, from a concentration camp, and said, you know, even in the worst of circumstances, you can still choose your own attitude. You don't have to be conformed by the patterns that are presented in front of you. You can choose for yourself what meaning is. He actually went on to form something called logotherapy, which is therapy by means of finding meaning in our lives. He, in his book called Man's Search for Meaning, he tells about this patient that came to him. And the patient was elderly. He was, you know, suffering because his wife had died. They'd been married for a very long time. He loved her dearly. And he found that since she died, he's just lost his will to go on. We have widows in here, and I know that you can sympathize with that. And so what he did when he discussed this with him, when he's counseling him, he asked him if his wife would have had trouble living after he died. You know, if she really loved him the way that he loved her, and that if he had died first, would her life have been really difficult? And I know that you've probably heard before, she would want you to go on, and I think that's true. But Frankl discusses this, or has a different angle. He says, then by you living, you have actually spared her the pain that you're feeling. Well, think about that for a minute. If you don't both die together, then one of you is going to be left to carry that burden And he says, the meaning in your life can be that you have spared her the pain of going on without you. And he said, that guy left transformed by that idea. It had given his life meaning and therefore purpose. But now he's carrying this burden just so she doesn't have to. Completely unique way, I think, of looking at this situation. See, we all have patterns. We all have, you could call it a script that just runs through our heads all the time, and sometimes that script is not very good. You see it in cases of abuse, but you see it in other ways too. We've all got one, like I said. I'll give you one more example. A few weeks ago, we had, in our family, we actually had an extra car. Our kids are all gone to school, but at home, it's too complicated to even discuss. We had an extra car. I'll just leave it at that. And I was driving that instead of my truck, put miles on that thing, and then it started to die, and I just went, you know, it's not worth it to fix it, so I donated it. So now we're just down to Lori has a car, and I have a car just like every other person around. Fine. A week later, though, she gets pinballed. Somebody hits her from behind, and she goes and smashes into somebody else, and it doesn't take, she's fine. She's right there. She's fine. Doesn't take much damage, though, for a 2006 Honda to not be reparable. So they total it out, and now we're done. And we've got a check that's not really going to be enough for a new vehicle. So, you're going to have to go out of pocket for that. And then not very long after that, I slid on ice for the first time. I've been driving on snow and ice my whole life. And I slid through an intersection and down into a ditch and hit a street sign and I took out the handle on my passenger door. You have no idea how much you use your passenger door handle until there's not one, right? So I have to climb around all the time. And you think just one thing after another, and then the vehicle that Delaney has off in college right now has a check engine light that just came on. Now, what's the script that's running through my head? Am I just saying, are you kidding me? Why does this stuff always happen to me? When it rains, it pours. I didn't need this. You can go on and on and let yourself just go wild with this kind of stuff. Or you can say, you know what? It's going to be okay. It's going to work out. These are just things. Because they are, right? I mean, both things are kind of true. It does seem like when it rains, it pours. And man, I hate even having to have cars at all. Why do we have to have cars? But it's also true that these are just things. And we're going to be able to replace them. And is it a hassle? I suppose so. But there's a lot worse hassles out there than this. What's the pattern that we're going to conform to? And what kind of patterns do you have? What's coming up in your mind when things start to go bad? Are you thinking, why am I the only person who can do this? Why can't anybody else help me? I am on my own. Or do you start to think about some more positive patterns? I'd like to finish up today just by reminding you of some positive patterns, because they're to be found right there in the Bible. So what I'm going to ask you to do is read these out loud with me. Are we ready? Let's start. God chose me from the beginning. I am God's treasure. God is for me, not against me. I was made in the image of God. God is planning the biggest party ever for me when I see Him. God gave up everything for me. Nothing can separate me from God's love. I am forgiven. Seriously, I am forgiven. I put Bible verses up there not to prove that I could find them, but so that you would know I didn't make any of this up. God has seen to it that the Bible has been preserved for thousands of years in part so that you can hear these words that God speaks to you. And I would suggest so that you can begin to conform your mind to this pattern, to a God who loves you with a crazy, unreasonable, and relentless love that can transform your mind. And when it does, transform your life. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you first for these words. These words of encouragement, these words that, well, are true because you've said them. And it's really just that simple. You have spoken these, and so they are true. And I would ask that we carry these home with us. And that we would allow these things to become a new pattern in our lives so that when things go wrong, we think that you are for us and not against us. And that we were made in your image. And that you consider us to be your great treasure. And when we remind ourselves of these things, that we begin to see the world around us differently. And we have peace in our minds. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.